placed okay. We good? Are we rolling?
Seems to be. I think so.
Ready?
Caught me off guard a little bit.
Why? Because I hit the record button?
Yes.
Well, that's what you keep saying to do.
Okay.
So I'm just going to hit it real quick, before anything starts. Then we'll have everything.
But we don't have time to talk about all the good stuff before you hit record.
Well, maybe we could just talk about that in the podcast. Then. I don't know. People might enjoy it.
That's all the secret squirrel stuff that they're not supposed to know about.
Right? Secret squirrel stuff. So, speaking of squirrels, saw a pretty funny thing the other day. Just text, like, post or whatever. And said, you can fit so many squirrels in one of those tube things before the bank teller figures out how to shut it off. Imagine squirrels just come zooting into the bank. Like, oh, what?
They don't have those at ours anymore.
Yeah, I think they took a lot of them out. I think they're cool. I think that the little vacuum tube things are like one of the coolest inventions. You know what I mean?
They are pretty neat.
I think so. Costco uses them. They have them overhead.
Costco?
Yeah.
For what?
Probably to pass stuff, orders, whatever, you know, back and forth between the front office and, like, the meat department, which is on the other side of the store and stuff like that.
All right.
But it also goes to the cashiers, so probably they have, like, the, you know, people in the back. Because, you know, I think Costco still does do a decent amount of cash business as well, so they, you know, they do have their little locked up areas and stuff like that, so, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah, our bank doesn't, you can't even see a real teller through the drive through anymore. You'd have to go inside. They have these, like, ATM machine things, and they got remote tellers somewhere else.
Yeah. Oh, really? There's an actual teller? It's not just the ATM?
Well, it's like a screen, you know, like, with a person, but they're not at the bank. They're probably in their office at home doing, I don't know where they are.
Or maybe it's AI.
No, it's a real person.
How do you know?
Because I know.
Did you ask
AI it? AI's not that good yet. Yes.
And it said, yes, I am a real person?
You know, I was going through Apple customer service once, and the person, that they must have such a script that they read off of. I actually asked the person, like, are you an AI? Because your answers seem very scripted. They said, no, they're not, but I didn't trust them.
Yeah, I mean, we've gotten, like, calls where, you know, it's a chat bot on the other end. And you ask it, and it'll tell you, oh, no, I'm a real person. And it sounds convincing if you're not familiar with this stuff, but you can ask it little things just to verify. It's real easy. Oh, so what's your name? Oh, can you spell that for me?
Oops.
I'm sorry. I didn't catch that, Dave.
Uh-huh. Nice.
Yeah. So it's pretty funny. But yeah, I mean, that stuff's happening right now. You know, that's one of these, you know, unintended consequences of the release of AI, right? And it's a big one, right? I mean, we had Industrial Revolution. There was a lot of fear back then, and I think we all did okay. But, you know, this is a little different. This is really different. It's not so much just an advancement and a retooling of skills. It's the reduction of the need for labor, literally. You know, that's different. You know, and I have talked before about, like, I honestly feel like there's an AI bubble. I really do. Now, this doesn't mean it's like the .com bubble, right? Everyone's like, oh, it's not the same. It's not the same. It is different. There are some fundamentally different pieces to it, but the thing about it is it's overinflated. The money is not coming in, and the success rate is pretty dismal at this point. So, at some point that bubble's going to go pop, and, you know, it doesn't mean AI is going away. Doesn't mean it's going to change the landscape. It just means some really massive tech stock companies are going to have a, you know, reckoning day. I suppose, right? Like, yeah, $500 billion and how much revenue? Well, zero. Well, that's not going to work, right? So, that's my feeling.
What are you advising people not to be too willy-nilly when they invest in this stuff, because their money might just go
Yeah, I wouldn't. I certainly wouldn't look at it as a sure thing. That would be my thing, right? I mean, I think there's still opportunity available there, and I think that you know, making the right decisions for the right plays, you could do well, right? But I do think that there's a bubble that's going to burst. I think the, you know, just the economics of the whole thing, it's not, it doesn't look right. There's something wrong here. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't think it'll affect me much. I have too much skin in the game.
No. The thing that's hitting real hard right now is things like what we were just talking about, the call centers, right? You get into a call center and you're like, yeah, I'm in a call center and that's what I do. And, you know, I basically answer the phone, read off this script, watch a decision tree and, you know, continue down this, you know, flow chart essentially. And if I find out, if I get to a spot where I have not resolved it and I've reached the end of my flow chart, well, then I escalate to another person. That position is likely going to be a thing of the past, right? And that's a lot of people. That's not a small amount of people. So, and that's just one. You look at, you know, geez, it's just so many areas, you know, you know, in finance even, right? Billing, you know, just a lot of these manual jobs, check posting, you know, things of this nature. They're just, if you can have a computer program do it for you, then, you know, I mean, hey.
I've also been told by my in-laws, since I don't really go to fast food restaurants, they went to a new Wendy's they put up here, and apparently the order taker at the window is not a real person either.
Yeah.
And it's, they did not enjoy that. They had trouble interacting with it, apparently. And they said they're not going back because of
that. Well, yeah, and there will be more examples of that, right? There's without question, this I think basically we came, we pushed it out to the wild too soon, personally. Mm-hmm. I really do. There's a lot of infancy type stage weirdness that's going on. That's one. Another big thing is we don't truly understand how this works.
That's a biggie.
You think? Like, I don't know. It just works. Is that a good thing? Is that really a good thing? I don't know. Maybe it is, you know, who knows, you know, I think, you know, there was a desire obviously to commercialize it so that you could get the amount of revenue and talent required to push this thing, you know, to the next level and get it kind of skyrocketing as opposed to what it's been. Right. I mean, when it was, this is like, you know, 70 years of work on this project, if not more, right? And, you know, Isaac Asimov was right. You know, I mean, you just look all the way back. This is not a new thing, right? We just, it's new in its form that we have access to us, right? So, right. But I think more research, more development would have been a much better thing and really get to the point where we do kind of understand it. We understand what the limitations are, and, you know, a much better grasp on what this thing is. But here we are, right? And so now it's just run with it. But this bubble has created a lot of drive for the talent, for the funding, to which allows us to, you know, kind of speed that thing along, right? As opposed to if it was still left in the, you know, data nerds' hands, the funding would be pretty dismal and research would be ongoing but slow.
I think we're in the FAFO stage. Oh, so we're fooling around and we're gonna find out.
Yeah, there's a lot of. Yeah, I mean, it's a big deal, right? And you know, I think people that are, you know, in people that manage the economies of you know, cities, counties, states, countries, et cetera, I think, you know, there's a real, you know, question mark there, right? What is this going to do to my country's economy? right? This is why there's so much pressure on us to become the first. I don't even know what you mean by first. It's already there, right? We're already, you know, it's going to ebb and flow. Things are going to, it's on its own. It's kind of organic at this point. And that's a little sketchy too.
And that's not even getting into any of the privacy concerns, like with some of these things, like flock cameras. They know when you're coming, going, you can't literally leave your front door without people knowing where you're going.
Yeah, the Ring cameras, the way they turn that into a massive surveillance network. It's like, dude, I don't remember which state it was. I want to say it was Mass, but I don't recall the state. So don't take my word on that one. But whatever state it was, just a judge just ruled that, you know, cops can grab your Google searches without a warrant. Well, because you put them into Google and Google is public. That's a pretty sketchy one, because if you think about it, there's an expectation of privacy when you're doing a Google search. You don't like print out your search and leave it laying around and your history and stuff. And like, there's literal memes about, you know, if I die, delete my browser history, right?
Right.
Which, you know, hey, whatever. But it's your, you know, these are your, this is, I would argue it's still private, you know, honestly, even though
I have seen these shows that my wife watches with the, you know, the true crime things. And that's the first thing they do is pull up a warrant on your Google search and, you know, this guy looked how to make chloroform and how to hide dead bodies. He's pretty,
right?
Pretty much guilty.
How many trash bags will I need for? Yeah, it's like,
dude, exactly.
Yeah. If you've got a warrant, you've got a warrant, right? There's a different thing, right? Right. At that point, a judge has determined that the actions you've taken or that they have evidence of or supposed to have evidence of, or, you know, maybe just felt like you were just not someone they liked, or maybe, you know, who knows? Maybe the palms were greased. You don't know. Nobody knows.
You know? That stuff doesn't happen. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I'm sure. It's, yeah. I don't. I'm. You know where my trust is on that. There's nowhere trust could go but up from where I sit, because it's at the lowest possible place. There's zero, none.
You don't trust in the benevolence and true faith and transparency of our government? I mean, come on, man.
Not even in the tiniest fractional amount. Not even a fleeting thought on a very good day. Nope. Not even a little bit.
Yeah.
None.
Yeah, that's probably a good thing.
Yeah, I think so. Hmm. I think it would be unwise to put any faith into that mess, personally. That's me.
Nice. Agreed.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway,
yeah.
What else is going on?
Oh, I don't know. What is going on? I mean, you know, hey, we just had that whole holiday thing happen. And,
Yeah.
Christmas, and that was pretty nice, you know. Spend some time with family and hang out and cook some good food. And
we did that.
Yeah.
Oh. What did you cook?
Prime rib roast. Brussels sprouts with pancetta, pan-seared Brussels sprouts with pancetta. My wife made popovers.
What's that?
Popover? It's really good. It's really good. But it's kind of a cheat food. It's kind of a bready, custard, eggy kind of a bread thing.
Bread?
I know.
Bread sounds good.
It is. It's very tasty. But I will tell you this. I feel it. The next day, like, you know, I was telling our oldest this the other day. Not like I feel bad, like not gluten or, you know, celiac, any of that kind of stuff, right? Just, I don't feel as good, right? I guess is the way to say it. Like, I guess if you were working out regularly and then you stop, for a week or something, you don't feel bad, but you don't feel as good as you did when you were regularly working out. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. And I'm in the same boat because I fell off the wagon just a little tiny bit because we ended up doing the raclette thing.
Mm. Yeah. And how was that?
So it was good.
Turned out well?
I ate too much.
You ate too much.
Yeah. Everybody liked it. I just ate too much.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard not to like. I mean, you know, again, the scent can be a little off-putting for someone that's not a, you know, not familiar with, you know, cheese in general, right? And I don't mean like, yeah, I go to the grocery store and buy a block of cheese and shred it. I'm talking, you know, like, you know, nicer, finer cheeses or whatever. Yeah.
We had trouble finding that cheese.
Yeah, which is interesting to me.
Yeah, so well, I had to drive like almost an hour away to get it. We ended up going to Whole Foods.
Yeah,
that's never been there before.
That's a pretty good bet if you don't have a cheese. Chew on my tongue a little bit there. If you don't have a cheese shop near you, then Whole Foods is a pretty good bet for getting raclette. And I mean, look. He drove almost an hour to get cheese. This is telling you something. Yep. If you're wondering, I don't know. Maybe I like it. Maybe I wouldn't. I am pretty sure you'll end up liking it. I really am.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Mm. So yeah, we went down to the Whole Foods. It was what a zoo that place was. Holy cow!
Oh yeah.
So yeah, city shopping's a little bit different. Like, I think even like the parking spaces are smaller and people are like just totally in a rush and don't give a care about anything, including you.
Oh,
and
yeah,
they're just like, get out of my way and that kind of nonsense. But yeah, then we get up to this will show you how far out of the loop I am. They got this thing to pay and she's like, do you want to use Palm Pay? And I'm like, what? Like, are you set up for Palm Pay?
No.
I'm like, I have no idea what that is. She's like, yeah, you just put your palm on the thing and it reads your palm print. And I'm like, no.
Would you like to? No.
We don't have anything like that around here, but I'm sure it's a lot of places, just not where I'm at.
That was an Amazon thing, I think, right? Amazon now owns Whole Foods, right? And
apparently, because then they said, do you have an Amazon Prime account? And my wife says, yes, we do. Why? She's like, because you can pull up your Prime thing and you get like discounts or something. So like, she pulled up a thing and they scanned a QR code or whatever. Yeah, it gave us a little bit off of there, but
yeah, it's like the rewards card or whatever from any other place.
Something like that. Yeah, and then our order showed up in our Amazon cart apparently for perpetuity.
Yeah, some of
now that everything's linked.
Some of them actually put in place. I don't know if they succeeded or not, but they had them where literally you would walk into the store and it like facially scanned you, like did facial recognition and stuff, and was like, "Oh, this is you," and you just take your items, put them in your cart, and go and walk out with your items, and it's like I took care of everything for you. Just
yeah, if it does, I didn't notice it, but it probably does.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Sam's Club does, because we do the thing, like the scan and go when we go in there.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, like, she does it on her phone. We just walk out the door. Don't have to even hit up the cash registers.
Yeah, just thinking about this stuff, our local grocery store, it's a Food Lion. They just put in the self-checkout stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I hate those.
Me too. Here I am like one item and I'm standing in a line of like seven people waiting for the cashier and they're like, you know, self-check. I'm like, yeah, that's fine. I'm not going to take your job from you. You know, sorry. I'm just not gonna, I don't have any interest in that. No. You know,
yeah,
that's my take. I'll take the inconvenience of standing in a line and waiting, for an inordinate amount of time over self-checkout, mostly, not always, you know, but for the most part I do. Because that's someone's job. It's the same thing with the AI stuff, right? It's like, that's someone's job. Yeah. If you want to make that untenable for people, and I'm not suggesting that you do this, but just keep going through the loop with whatever AI you get on the phone until it gets you to a real person every single time for the most trivial thing.
Mm.
Eventually, it'll be more cost effective just to have real people.
Maybe.
No, it will. But only if enough people.
Or you just get stuck in that loop forever.
Well, and that's happened to me, and it's frustrating. But I finally got there. You know, you can do things like that if you're, you know, if you want to. I'm more of a passive resistor, right? You opened up the self-checkout line. I'm going to a teller, you know, or cashier. Sorry, teller. It's not a bank.
Yeah, I remember this is a long time ago. I worked at a grocery store, and dude, they didn't even like take credit cards back then.
Yeah.
It was just cash or check.
Cash or check.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then
they ran the check to the little thing, and come back.
Yeah, yep. It'll zip through the thing, and then they put it in there, it stamps the back of it and all. Yeah, those were the interesting times. I mean, obviously, we didn't get through as quick as we do now, you know? But, yeah, maybe people didn't care as much about super efficient shopping.
I guess.
I didn't seem to mind at all. It didn't bother me. Yeah, who knows? Who knows?
People seem to be in a hurry a lot.
They are. They are. It's like I was, you know, talking to our oldest the other day, and we were putting up hamburger meat. And he's like, "Do you flatten it?" And I'm like, "Do what?" He's like, you know, press it all down into a flat thing. And I'm like, no, don't really bother with that. It'll store better, right? I mean, so we buy like 10 pounds of hamburger, and then we'll you know, divvy it up and put it in freezer bags, right? You know, vacuum seal bags. Mm-hmm. And what he's saying is, you know, we just take the chunk and throw it in there and vacuum seal it. It's just a frozen ball of hamburger meat. And he's saying you squish it down flat, right? And it just goes across like a, you know, thin thing. And when you go store it in the freezer, you know, you can stack a lot of those, and they'll stack really nicely. And what his main point was, when you pull it out, it defrosts way quicker. And I was just like, I guess I've never really found myself in that much of a rush to defrost the meat. Like, okay, to get the meat out, I'm going to have to wait a few hours for it to frost or whatever. You know, I'm good. It's not an emergency situation.
I don't know, man. I think I might be on his side.
Well, I'm not.
I like the uniformity and the ease of storage, I think. I think he's got a point on that one.
No, and I do like that point, but it's also a lot of work going into it. Think about it. I guess you could
save
use rolling
now,
pin.
Save time later. Or what?
But again, I guess you could use a rolling pin. Would probably make that a little easier. I don't know. I don't have any real need to do that. I've got more than enough freezer space. And, you know, everything kind of goes on its little shelf or in a slot, and there's different types of food in different areas, and just grab the hamburger meat, throw it in the fridge, or, you know, the night before, or if it's the day of, just throw it on the counter and just let it thaw. Just fine. Never really cared.
Hey, maybe it's a me problem, because, like, I'm the guy that would cut the vacuum bags, like, make sure each one is, you know, within the thousandths of an inch of uniformity right. between each one, and then I got the scale out measuring the individual portions to make sure they're all equal, and
it's a you thing. It is. There's no question about it. I'm like,
and then when they get stacked in the freezer, you know, like you got to put the level and plumb line on them to make sure they're all in there properly.
You got a plumb bob hanging from your
yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Put the level up top. Yep, it's okay. You got to square the bubble up exactly.
Yeah, I'm not.
Can't beat off a little bit.
I'm more of a, hey, look, there's 10 pounds of meat. I don't know. Yeah, it's about a pound. Okay.
Mm.
Zach, that's it. It's just very scientific. Very.
I did do some more steak cutting, though.
Nice.
So that was an exercise in fun, mm-hmm. I guess. Yeah, we got the standing rib roast.
Did you use that breaking knife?
The what?
The breaking knife.
What is the breaking
knife? The scimitar-looking sword knife.
No, I don't have one of those.
Didn't I give you one?
No.
Yeah, I did.
No, he did not.
Yeah, I did.
Negative.
Yeah, a wood-handled one.
No.
Mm-hmm.
I would have remembered that for sure.
It did. I had two of them. I have one now. I gave it to you right after the brisket. I'm like, since well, you don't
somebody
have
has one,
one,
it's certainly not me.
Somewhere in the stuff that you brought home is a knife.
No.
Ask your wife.
No.
I bet she knows where it is, too. She'll be like,
I can guarantee
it's right
you.
Here. And you'll be like, I don't even remember this. And she'll be like, it's right here.
I don't think so. No, really.
It's not here anymore. And I gave it to you. I know I did. Yeah, I remember after all the, you know, sharp, don't touch, you know, this is good for this. This is how you, you know, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I don't know where you would smuggle one of those things, because I'm pretty sure it ain't hiding on us.
That one isn't the huge one. It's big, but it's not as huge as the one I still have.
I'll inquire about this, but I mean, I'm pretty sure she would have said something.
Yeah, inquire. It's a really, for that particular exact thing, it's
yeah
a great knife.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. That would have really come in handy.
Yeah, and they sharpen up really quick, too. A couple of pulls across a steel, and you're, mm-hmm. you're back. So I'll notice, like when we bought a case of New York Strip, right? I'll get through about one packer, right? Yeah. Before I need to resharpen. Sometimes not even a full packer. Depends on the meat, the quality of the meat, and what I'm cutting on. You know, is it a plastic tray or is it, you know, a wood cutting board? You know, all this stuff. But yeah, just run it a couple times across the steel and boom, next thing you know, it's just like butter through these things.
Nice.
Yeah, and having that extra long blade also helps when you lay down the blade and you're trying to cut your steaks. And I'm sure you notice this, but it is very hard to keep the steaks from being like, you know, tapered or, you know, off, etc., you know?
I did pretty good, so I got like 20 steaks out of it.
Nice.
And they were all pretty uniform. And then I had like the end piece that, you know, like it was a little thinner.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
We actually cooked that up and we used it for a Colette. People liked it.
Nice.
I mean, all along with the regular charcuterie stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But they took the ribeye pretty quickly.
Oh, I imagine. That's my favorite.
That disappeared fast.
That is my favorite right there. I just, something about ribeye, just, it, for me, it's, it, I like fat. Sorry, I just like fat. So
I think the ribeye went first, and then the prosciutto, and then maybe the speck went third.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I like.
Plenty of salami left over. I don't know.
Nobody liked the salami.
Salami fans.
Yeah, it's hard. You know, different people like different things. I love speck.
Yeah.
Speck is wonderful to me. But, you know, hey,
yep.
Everyone has their own taste, you know? And that's one of the.
Soprasetta.
Yeah.
I think that went pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, I like soprasetta. That stuff's yummy. Mm. Yummy, yummy. Now, did you get the charcuterie at Whole Foods as well?
No, we'd get that at Publix. The Whole Foods really didn't have much for that kind of stuff, surprisingly.
Really?
The deli department was really kind of lacking, at least at the one we went to.
All right. Well, that's interesting. Ours is, I want to say the one, well, ours, we have one about the same distance, about an hour mm-hmm. drive away. And I want to say that they have a pretty decent selection. They do have really good, high quality, top end meats, if you want.
And they have a, like a butcher shop mm-hmm. with like, you know, beef and, you know, meats and stuff. But then like they had a deli department with that kind of stuff. And they really didn't have that much.
Huh. So. Interesting. I would have expected a little different, but, you know, it's also, they're going to do stuff regionally as well, right?
Yeah.
So, sometimes.
I don't know if the stores differ, like, between store to store. I have no idea. That was the only one I've ever been into.
Yeah, there's small ones. There's very gigantic ones. And, again, depending on where you are, you're going to see some different stuff. There's a lot of the same. Right, it's kind of like going to a Publix. Go to a Publix in Florida, you're going to find a little bit different stuff than you will if you go to a Publix in North Carolina.
They did have a very large like salad bar kind of thing set up by where the deli was, so maybe they focus more on that stuff.
Yeah, they have a salad bar. I want to say they have like an olive bar too, and some other stuff. Just
yeah, they have quite a few. You know, like, I don't know, it's not a table, but, you know, the things where you, the buffet things.
Yeah, yeah. Like, just go put your meal together or something, prepared yep. stuff, but it's, you know, yeah. It's an interesting place. I don't, it's been quite a long time. It's probably been over 2 years since I've stepped foot in one. And it was weird to me because of the same thing. Like, all the screens and stuff at the checkout, and I was just like, what? And then someone finally, you know, came and helped. And I was like, man, I'm not doing all that. I just want this stuff. And they're like, well, you could. And I'm like, I don't. I just, like, I got stuff. I would like to pay for my stuff and exit.
The staff was super nice. We called down there first, and they were very helpful. They set aside, you know, what we wanted, and it was ready to pick up when we got there. And, yeah, everything was good.
Yeah, they're it's a I don't have any real gripes against the store so much as I have gripes against the whole automation automating people out of positions, I guess. It bothers me.
Yeah, no, I hear you on that.
Yeah. Mm. It does. It bothers me. And to an extent there's going to be some of that, but you know, just the deletion of entire categories of jobs is not one I think is a great idea for us, especially economically. Now, you could make an argument that it would be better economically, but it won't for the entirety of our society or whatever, right? It's just going to create a wider gap between the haves and the have-nots.
Mm-hmm. It's a pretty big gap there already.
Oh, there is. Sure. No question. Yeah. It's just insane to think about. But hey, here we are. I got what I need. I'm in okay shape. I'm good. I have noticed though, like I've been doing a little bit more self-reflection on this. The older I get, the more I am that crotchety, grumpy-ass old man, dude.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's just, it's insane. It's like, I just don't have time for that shit. I just don't. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I've noticed that, too.
Just like, yeah, you like, I don't know. Like, I used to care a lot more about being, I don't know, I guess, it's not that I'm not nice, I just, I'm not dealing with that. Just, I'm not going to, you know? So it's, and I don't know what it is. It's just, it's weird. I've been thinking about that lately. It's just like, wow, sometimes you can be quite crotchety. You old coot.
Paying attention to people's feelings takes time and effort. And when you get older, you just don't have the time or the effort for that anymore.
Well, I have
it's
my
just easier people. To speak your mind and what you really feel.
I have my people that I pay attention to that with. You know what I mean? But then there's the rest of people. And I want everyone to be happy. I want everyone to be, you know, successful and in good shape, but not enough to, I just go do it. Have fun. You know, I don't know. It's weird. It's weird.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I think everybody should be able to do whatever they want as long as it doesn't impact me or bother me, I guess. That's why I like to stay home.
Yeah, that's a lot. Kind of my philosophy on things. Do what you want. Go. Be weird. Do your stuff. Mm. Have fun. Whatever you want to do. As long as you're not harming someone else or their property, and you're not making it so that they can't also do what they want. You know what I mean? Like, be respectful, be kind to each other, and let people just do what they want. Stop. Like, I see so many, like, I use this app called Next Door sometimes. You know, for stuff around the farm, for, you know, people's services, maybe gutter cleaning. Our roof is really tall, and the pitch on it is insane for where we live. There's no need for this roof to have a pitch like it does. So I'm not getting on a ladder. No, not a chance, right? Oh yeah. No, that's like seriously broken and not good if alive kind of fall. So no, I'm
good. Aren't you worried about the person that's going to be up there?
Not at all. They're getting paid to do that. They chose that life. They're like, hey, yeah.
Man.
Would you like a job standing on roofs with a blower cleaning gutters? Yeah. Okay. Well, you made that decision. I'm sorry. You know, maybe you didn't. Maybe you just had to get a job and that's what it is. I understand that as well. But yeah, no, I'm not doing it. No.
And I'm the old guy that says, they want $50 to go up there. I'll do it my darn self.
Well, on yours, I would.
I'd do it on yours too.
I don't know. You might be surprised. We had the guy up there, and even the guys that do this are just like, you know, they're tying stuff off. They're being extremely careful because they're like, this is like insane. Like, seriously. Like, the guy that came when we first moved out here, getting internet was wow. Okay. And one of our options was whatever, the satellite internet, dish internet or whatever.
Oh, that thing. Oh, yeah. That stinks.
We had a guy come out to put the dang thing on the roof, and he was even like, nah, I don't want to go up there. You know what I mean? Yeah. And you know, I mean, there are people that do this and they're comfortable doing that. I'm not one of those guys. Yeah. When I was in my 20s and probably even 30s, sure. But I'm not anymore. Those were decades ago. Decades. Multiples of decade. I don't heal like I used to. And this is very apparent.
That's true.
Very
apparent. And the ground gets harder the older you get.
It does. It does. So, yeah, it's just a risk I don't need to take, you know? Okay, now if my circumstance changed and that's what I had to do to clean the gutters, then that's what I got to do to clean the gutters. But unless and until that happens, I don't want to do that at all.
I do have another idea. Hear me out. You send the wife up there.
You know what the messed up part is she would do it too. She just,
I know she would.
And that's not okay. I can't. We had this shed at our old place, and it was a big two-story barn-looking shed. It was a big shed, right? We had to paint it, right? Came just plain wood, so we had to paint the whole thing. So we rented a sprayer, but, you know, at the very peaks of these things, we had the tallest ladder we could get, extension ladder, and she's literally, her tippy toes are on the very top rung. The one you're not supposed to ever use as a step, her tippy toes are on that. And she's up against this thing, like literally pressed against it like this, because, you know, the ladder goes like this when you're standing, and she's literally pressed up against there painting stuff like this. And I'm just like, yeah, we're not doing this. Wow. Is not okay. You no. My center of gravity would not have allowed me to do that.
Well, I'm glad everybody made it out okay.
And me too. And so, yeah, now ladders are a thing, right? Step ladder is fine. Mm. No problem. But if it's an extension type ladder, you know, no. Nope. No. A folding ladder? Yeah, okay, maybe. Depending. I've seen some of those that are insanely big, like 32 inch.
Yeah, they get pretty big too.
32 foot, yeah.
Hmm. 32 doesn't sound like a lot until you get up there. You're like, yeah, that's pretty far.
It's a lot. It's a lot. It really is. That's more than enough to change the equation. Yeah, that's a multiply by zero type of alteration to life at 30 feet. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's not a good thing. I mean, I just don't, yeah. And I'm not like heights, you know, that doesn't bother me. It's not that. It's just ladders happen to be like, I think, still to this day, like the number one cause of injury and death for homeowners. Like number one.
Wow.
The very top one. Like people get messed the hell up falling off ladders all the time. It's,
I believe it.
Yeah. So I don't work in the trades anymore. When I did, scurrying up ladders was kind of a thing. That's just, you had to do it. But I chose that. See, we full circle all the way back. I chose that.
You ever seen those firefighting competitions where them guys just throw them ladders up and just, they're just climbing up them things? It's crazy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. With the hooks on the ends and they like swing them and they're already like, they have the ones with the teams and the dude hits the ladder and he's halfway up the ladder before it's even at the building. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like insane, you know, or the hook ones where they do this and they climb up and then they lift the ladder up and they climb up again.
That's the one I'm talking about.
Dude, it's insane. It's insane. Some of those firefighter competitions are crazy, and they bring in the hot rodded trucks and they like do the line thing where they come up and, you know, they're screaming in and they just, and everyone jumps off and they're like, one guy's doing the hose onto the fire hydrant. Meanwhile, this drag car freaking fire truck is on its way. And another guy's like trying to get the hose and get it ready. It's pretty cool. It's insane.
Mm.
Those things are really, really neat to watch for a period of time. You know, I imagine it kind of gets boring after about three iterations of the same thing. But, you know, kind of like lumberjacking. You've ever seen like lumberjacking comps? That's insane stuff.
You can only watch a log getting sawed so many times before you. It's a little boring.
Exactly.
Mm.
Until they bring out the V8 freaking chainsaws. You watch these guys cut through logs like, you know, as, you know, just huge, right? And they're like, and done. You're like, yeah. It's literally a V8, like a small block V8 motor that they strap a chainsaw on.
That would probably not be fun if like the chain broke and came around and whipped you right in the face or something.
Probably not.
I wonder if they have any safeguards for that. I'd hope so.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe. Chain break? But would that even help you with that kind of, you know?
Probably not.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. That would be sketchy. That would be very sketchy.
My neighbor just picked up an old chainsaw, like 40 plus years old. He asked me to look at it for him. I farmed it out to my dad since he enjoys working on that stuff.
There you go.
He's got it all fixed up for him.
Nice.
They made this saw from like 1978 to 82 or something. It's actually a pretty decent saw. It weighs a metric ton, though.
Oh, yeah. What is it? Do you know the manufacturer?
It is. It's a McCulloch 650 Pro Mac. Which, from what I've read, they're actually were pretty decent saws. That's before they sold out to Husqvarna and became all plastic and start showing up at Walmart and stuff.
Yeah. If you want to,
this is like all metal.
If you want a Husqvarna, I mean, Husky makes really good saws, in my opinion. There's, you know, the two camps are essentially Steel and Husky.
Right. Yeah.
Steel, the thing, they're both amazing saws. I think Husqvarna's more geared towards here's the saw and it's already at peak performance, whereas Steel kind of has here's the saw and if you want to modify it, you can do these things to it and this and it'll make it even better. And, you know, and I don't know which one's better or which one's worse. I always kind of used Huskies myself and always had a good, you know, time with them. So it's just what I've stuck with. But they're, you know, when you get into their better saws, you go to Walmart and get a Husqvarna, you're getting basically the Ryobi of, you know, tools, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, like you get into the Rancher, the Ranch series of their chainsaws, and they're the real deal, man. There's no question about it. I've cut many trees down here with that saw. I've got two of them, actually. Smaller one for limbing and stuff, and the Ranch model for the big boys.
Yeah. Yeah, this older saw, it's pretty decent size. It comes with like a 20-inch bar, so it's not, you know, pretty decent.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Middle size one.
No, I remember the manufacturer, I believe, when I was living in Northern California on the hog farm. We actually cut wood. Part of what we did, you know, for our own heating fuel, right? It was cut wood and stack up, and we'd do between 4 and 8 cords every year. And then we'd do more that we sold, and, you know, we had a couple of neighbors, one couple that lived, I think it was 1 or 2 properties south of us, or down the road from us. We're elderly, so we would bring them firewood as well. But yeah, McCullough was one of the ones that one of the older dudes up there had.
Yeah, this thing actually has a decompression lever on it, if that tells you anything.
Wow.
So
that's insane. Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty awesome find, man.
Well, I haven't seen it. You said it's all done, ready to go, so I haven't checked it out yet.
Old tools are pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Yep.
You know, some of them you look at and you just go, I don't understand, you know, like broad fork. When I learned about the broad fork, I was like, this thing is really cool. But if you saw one sitting there in a garden center, you'd look at it and be like, what is that thing for? Poking holes in the ground or something?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's just kind of what it looks like. It happens to be the absolute best implement in the world for reducing and eliminating compaction, soil compaction, without destroying the soil biome. Geeky, nerdy stuff.
You have to put a picture of one up for people so they know what you're talking about.
Ooh, I could do that. I know how. I have one I could take a picture of. I have two of them.
There you go. Your personal broad fork.
Yeah. I love that thing. I really do. Mm. If you've got clay soil and you don't have a broad fork, you're doing it wrong. Sorry. You just are. It's amazing. It really is. It's not.
Yeah, we really don't have a use for one here.
I can't imagine sand compacting that bad. You know?
No. That clay though, that does get packed down pretty good.
Oh, it does. I mean, we were talking about this the other day, right? Well, we've talked about it a number of times. There's a hole, the LGDs, livestock guardian dogs. Great Pyrenees, they dig holes sometimes to lay down in cool dirt, right? Well, there's a hole and it rained, and like 3 days later, the hole is still full of water. That's how compact that clay is. It just, and so if you try and plant in it, you're going to get stunted, cruddy little tiny plants that just can't. They want to. They're trying, but you know that clay is too hard for their roots to really, you know, get into and get nutrients from. So,
like a little swimming pool.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah. You get overwatering problems with clay really easily because it literally will just soak up all the water and just hold it. You know, okay. That hole right there is just sitting there leaching water. All the clay, probably 2 feet around the whole thing, is wet at this point. And it'll stay wet until it leaches off all that water.
Speaking of big holes, we were talking about last time. Did you make any determinations on renting any equipment to dig your goose pond?
Yeah, I need to get the right liner because of where we're
going. Oh, you're still looking for the liner.
Yeah, where we're going to put it, it's kind of a interesting little spot. And either that or I need to rethink where I'm going to put it, and I don't know that I have anywhere else that I... with. The only other option is to clear trees, and that's not... I don't want to do that. I don't want to clear a bunch of trees out because where we have area that we could do this, there's power lines. So I can't do that. And then on the other side where we can do it, it's just kind of the way it's shaped and everything. It needs to not be wider than, you know, so much, and it has to, you know, no longer than, and so just kind of have to get everything the right size. The other option is do a pond liner, but I've been kind of looking into those, and you know what I mean? It's like a tarp. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one of those. But some mixed results, I think, with those.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Is that going to be what I really want to do? And, you know, also, I don't know. So not yet.
You figure it out.
Yeah, I need to get one put in. The perfect spot would be over by our feed shed because there's plenty of room there. I can get any pond liner and just dump it in there. But there are 5 6-foot-long ground poles in a, you know, 2, 3, 4 and one in the center, all tied together that feed up to the electric fence right there. So I can't all that out. Or the electric fence won't pop things.
Yeah.
I kind of wanted to do that.
I don't mean to change the subject, but speaking of ground poles, my mother-in-law got me a gift. And maybe I get your opinion on this thing. It's a grounding mat. Have you ever heard of that? So it's like a little floor mat that you put on the ground and you plug it's got a wire that goes to your outlet that plugs just in the grounding plug. And it, I don't know, you're supposed to put your bare feet on it and it grounds you out, I guess.
You just put your bare feet on.
Or you can go outside. Yeah, no, I get it.
The ground.
But this is for when you're not outside.
Oh. Okay. I mean, yeah. Hey, walk barefoot outside, you know, and you get the exact.
I hear you.
I think it's a great.
But there's like sand spurs outside and ants and sticks and stuff.
Yeah, true. There is outside.
You're not buying it. I see you.
There is outside.
I don't do the beach, so like that's pretty much out of the question. No, I'm going to try it. I'll see if it works. I have it under my desk right now.
Barefoot? Are you using it?
Yeah, I'm barefoot.
The horror.
No, I like to go barefoot, but like my foot hurts.
Yeah.
I have the metatarsalgia. The ball of my foot has been hurting for about a month now. And it's slowly healing. It's getting a little bit better, but
yeah,
still working on it.
Yeah, no, those things, that kind of stuff. I've had stone bruises before, which is apparently the same or extremely similar to what you're doing. And they take forever to heal. I had one on my heel which was terrible. Terrible.
I bet.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I, you know, right now I've got one or something going on my left ball of my foot. But Birkenstocks. Ugly. Terrible. Terribly ugly. Hideous freaking shoe. But, dude, I don't feel it when I'm wearing them. So.
That's good. Yeah. Yeah.
It's just, I have to look like this.
Mm. Yeah. See, yeah. My wife got me some inserts for my sneakers that seem to be helping when I go out.
Yeah, some insole type stuff. That's the good stuff too. Yeah. Anything that just increases that cushion and that comfort is huge, because it really is. It's terrible going through that. It really is.
Yeah. The neighbor's been nice enough to let us use his hot tub. They've been out of town. He's like, come on over, try it out. So I've been going over there, putting like the jet on my foot. Seems to be helping too.
Nice, nice. That's awesome. Mm. Yeah, hot tub. We need to. Yeah. Ours sprung a leak.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and nobody anywhere near us services our hot tub manufacturer. So we could find someone generically and they could do best effort.
Yeah.
Which...
It's in the plumbing underneath it. It's leaking.
Yeah.
Yeah, that shouldn't be too terrible to handle.
I think that's where it is. I don't know for sure. We'll see.
There's not too much to it. You got a control board. You get your pump. You got your heating element.
Yeah.
That's about it.
So we're right now kind of considering, do we get it fixed and keep it and see if we can't, you know, get it limping along for, you know, a number of years more? Or do we go to a local shop and get a hot tub and have them come put it in and do all that? And then we know we have a local shop that can service it and do all that kind of stuff. I'm kind of on the fence of the latter, not because I certainly don't want to spend the money, but at the same time, this thing has been a nightmare for us. Any problem we have with it, it's like a weeks long adventure trying to find someone to actually come and take a look at it.
Mm. Yeah. How old is it?
Gosh. 12, 14 years.
Okay. Yeah, it's got a little bit of age, huh?
Yeah, and it's been moved twice, so.
Mm.
And I think moving puts extra stress on them.
Probably. Yeah.
So, bouncing down the road. Because when it shows up, it's packed, right? I mean, it's in, you know, kind of... packed, and the internals are kind of, there's foam in there to keep everything from rattling. Mm-hmm. When you move this thing, none of that occurs. it's on the frame on a trailer rattling down the road. You know, it's not even in a mm-hmm. you know, a moving van that has suspension. It's on a trailer, you know? So
right.
That's, I think maybe, I don't know. I don't know what happened, but no worky now. Put water in it, and the next day you come, and it's like, you know, 2 feet below the line.
That's the only issue with it, though? Is it leaking water?
I think so. It still heats. It's, you know, the jets mostly still work. We've got one jet that's not being cooperative, doesn't want to work fully. It works, doesn't want to work fully. But I guess this is all stuff that just occurs over time with hot tubs.
Yeah, I don't have too much experience with it, but the neighbor, he's had his for a while. He's had to do a little bit of work to it, but I think he had to change the heating element in there.
Yeah.
But, you know, after about the same amount of time.
Yeah, we got this one at Costco is the thing. And while that was it's a great hot tub. It's their Aqua Terra or whatever. Well, it's a great hot tub. It's specifically made for Costco. Costco doesn't service hot tubs. And the local people around us, like, I even called into Charlotte. Like, I'll pay you extra, whatever. I can't find anyone that will, you know, work on them. They just don't. We don't carry them. We don't have parts for them. We don't work with them. So.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like those, you know, import car places. You go drive up there and they're Ford and they're like, yeah, we can't work on that.
Yeah. So using the neighbors, we were actually looking at like on Marketplace, and there's always somebody giving away a free jacuzzi on there or a free hot tub. And there's like really only a couple things that go wrong with them, either, you know, like the pump motor or the heating element or the control board.
Yeah.
That's, you know.
It's and it's
so we were considering getting one.
And if you're, you know, like you, I don't know. I think they're great. I really do. But they're also, you know, they require maintenance and, you know, constant care and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Right? They're the chemical balance in a hot tub, in my opinion, is way more difficult to keep in line. Way more difficult. So, yeah. That's one of the things. We also wouldn't mind having a salt one, salt water hot tub.
That would be
nice. Yeah, because the chlorine, the hot tub.
I think that's a little bit harder on the components, though.
Well, you have to get a salt-based system, one that's designed for it. It's like our old pool. We put a salt cell on it because you can just do that with your pool. Mm-hmm. And then next thing you know, like all the metal components that are up around the rim, the cap on the top of the pool, because it's an above ground pool, all that stuff's corroding. And we're like, hey, and they're like, yeah, well, this is not a saltwater pool.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's one of those types of things. I can itch.
Mm-hmm.
Back scratcher.
Yeah, right there. You don't have one of these?
That does not work anywhere near as good as one of these does.
Yes, it does, because you have to file a nice bevel on the teeth.
Oh.
They don't come like that, but you have to make them like that.
Right. Yeah. No, I actually had
maybe I'll get you one as a
gift. I actually had a landscape rake, like a you know, little garden tool landscape rake that just had the, you know, the metal wire basically coming off of it. I was using that. My wife was like, doesn't that tear your back up? I'm like, oh, it feels so good.
Right.
No, it doesn't.
You're like, why is there blood all over the back of your shirt? What are you doing?
Feels good.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure it does.
I mean, I'm a bear. living where people stuccoed their houses, just with a t-shirt on, you just put your back up against stucco and then just grind back and forth on it. Oh,
you need some oak trees.
We've got them. Yeah, I've tried it.
Yeah.
Hickory works really well.
All right. You know all the tricks.
Yeah. Man, when the back is going for that itchy time, I got to get that taken care of, you know? It's uncomfortable having an itch that you cannot reach. Like, you know? Or you like, you get your...
You're a little bit more flexible.
Get your arm back up in there and you're like, that close, just not quite there. Gotta get it. I like it.
I got another one around here that, like, it's on a telescoping, it's almost like an old antenna thing, you know, it pulls out.
Yeah, I've
had to do a little work on that one too.
I've had a number of them, and some of them have been pretty good, but honestly, just the standard old fork, it's a rigid, it gives me that extra reach, and the tines are, in my opinion, perfect, because I can just dig in, and I mean dig in. Like, I like to have my back scratched, like, you know, not in that way. Just when I have an itchy area on my back, I like to really get in there and scratch that itch.
Does your wife get like fingernails or no?
Yeah,
she do the long nail
thing. Okay. She'll scratch. She's really good about that. She's an amazing woman. I can't say enough good things about her. And she'll get in there and scratch, and I'm like, harder. And she's like, she'll scratch, and she's like, I can't anymore. It hurts. I'm like, okay.
Like, it's already bleeding. You still have to get it harder.
Just don't mind the wet spots. Just keep going.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, I've always been like that. I've always, like, been pretty rough on my back scratching. Just, I don't know. I like it. Oh, you know what we never did?
What's that?
We didn't like do an intro at all.
Yeah, we said hi. Hi, this is that's this guy, and I'm that guy.
That guy? This guy.
That's right. Too late now. That ship has already sailed, buddy.
Hopefully you know what you're watching at this point. You're kind of clued in. If not, well, we just boffed this one. I'm probably just going to let it ride, too. I'm just going to let it.
I would.
We could do it right now, and I could, like, put it over there. But I don't want to.
Nah.
I don't feel like it.
Nah.
Yeah. The editing workflow has gotten pretty good. Pretty good.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
I knew you could do it. I had faith.
Yeah, yeah, it's okay. There's some minor annoyances I got to figure out, but yeah, for the most part, it's good.
Hmm.
Yeah. Pull down the files, throw the WAV files into iZotope, run it through whatever needs to happen to clean up the audio and get the levels right, then save that, mm-hmm. then open Premiere and blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Stupid, awesome. Even stupid things like having a little template for Premiere, like for each project I open, each one of these is a new project. And so for each project I open, I was finding myself like, oh, I need a folder for these, like images that I'm putting in there. Because I want all the material, right? For the raw milk one, the slideware, the images for that, all that, you know, any animations or videos that go into, you know, all this stuff. But something as stupid and simple as creating a folder that has all the stuff in it that you just copy paste and rename. Huge. It's
learning all the tricks.
Well, it sounds silly, but you know, it really does. Just I guess what I'm trying to say is it's these types of things that are making a bigger difference for me now than anything else. I've learned enough about editing to become dangerous, I guess.
Mm.
And halfway to amateur level or something, maybe. Halfway. I'm almost there. I know what luffs are now. Woo!
Mmm.
Got to
get your editor badge pretty soon.
Got to get your luffs. Luffs correct. All the luffs. Not luff balloons.
I have no idea what that is.
Yeah, it's something about noise.
Okay.
I don't remember what it stands for anymore. I can't remember. But I know I have to do it. If I don't do it, then the audio comes across YouTube in varying levels of loudness.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's been sounding pretty good to me.
I think so. It's pretty consistent. Yeah.
Yeah. Some of the earlier ones weren't quite as good.
Mm-mm.
But the more recent ones, much better.
No, and a lot of that had to do with luffs.
Okay.
You know? And I literally run every single piece of audio we have through a D-click as well.
Mm.
Yeah, they're not noticeable. So if you listen to it, you don't really hear clicks, right? You're just not hearing them. But if you then run this against it and then listen to the audio again, you're like, oh, mm-hmm. that was helpful. It like takes out clicks okay. that you don't really hear, I guess, or, you know, subconsciously mm. they're there, but you're not recognizing them, I think. It's pretty good tool, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, getting the gain right, that's another big one. Yeah, got to make sure all the gains. Yeah. I don't know what the hell I'm doing, but I wing it pretty good, I guess.
Well, if you know, you can fake it till you make it.
I guess. I got a lot of faking it to do then. I don't think we made it.
I think you do quite a good job.
Mm.
I have no complaints.
So what do you
no complaints?
What do you
all.
Think? Should we like? I'm thinking our next one will be season two. Mm-hmm. Everything so far has been season one, and we yesterday released. So it's Saturday, December 27th, right now, a little after 10 a.m. But yesterday we released our 35th long form episode.
Wow.
This one.
Wow, that's a lot.
This one. But here's the thing. Do we start season two with our next one?
I think probably.
Yeah, because this is still recorded inside of 2025. So I think you're right. Yeah. So, hey, stay tuned, folks. Season two of Space Tomatoes podcast is coming your way. Subscribe.
Usually the way it works is by like season three or four, the writers start getting lazy and, you know, like the content starts slipping and viewership falls off to nothing. And
but you know what?
We get canceled.
We don't have that problem. There are no writers. So we don't have to worry about them getting stale. The writers don't exist.
That's good.
So we can go. We're gonna surpass Friends. We'll be like season 18, nice. Space Tomatoes. Get my walker in here.
People are like, oh, we're going to hear about the government corruption again. Or one of the other things.
If they would stop, we could stop talking about it.
That's true.
Oh, my goodness.
We would.
Oh, well.
I see the curtain moving.
Good morning. Good morning. All right.
Nice.
Everyone's up now.
Great. I think there's your cue.
It probably is. I mean, it's, you know, a little over an hour. What were we just talking about before, like, that?
Season two.
Oh, yeah, season two. Yeah. Oh, yeah, we were going to be on season 18, like Friends, but better.
How many seasons did that show go?
You know, I don't know.
Like 10?
No, I think it's way longer than that, wasn't it?
I don't know. I can look it up. I can look it up and tell you.
Oh, it is 10 seasons. Okay.
Yeah. 236 episodes.
Wow.
Wow.
I thought it was longer than that.
All we need is like 201 more. We can be better.
What's the longest running TV series?
How many? Probably like one of those old soap operas from the 80s. Ooh, there.
How many saisons? Yeah, you're probably right.
General Hospital.
I was just going to say General Hospital is probably like General Hospital because that stuff was like a big deal when I was a little kid. You know?
Wow, 18,000 episodes.
Dude.
That's a lot.
That's commitment right there.
It is.
I don't know that we're going to get to 18,000 episodes, but we'll give it a try.
Yeah, maybe we could do like, maybe you can catch amnesia next season, and you can be replaced by your identical cousin, Havoc with a C.
No.
That's like how those soap operas run.
Right. Yeah, so, you know, 18,000 episodes at one a week, that's only 2,571 weeks.
That's it?
Yeah.
We're like almost there.
It's only 49.4 years.
Nice.
You can do that. That's easy.
I don't think I'll be here for that.
Ah, don't sell yourself short. Triple digits, baby, triple digits.
Nice.
I would be 100 years old. I don't think that's going to happen. I'm just throwing one out there. Oh,
you'll be probably pretty good at editing by then, though.
Maybe.
I would hope.
Maybe. If I could still, like, yeah, I don't know. What will computers look like in 49 years?
They're smaller.
Will they, though? I mean, look at phones. We went micro with phones, and now they're big, giant things.
Yeah, that's true.
We've tried the monitor all-in-one thing. Nobody seemed to like that too much.
Why not?
Yeah. You can't really put the power You know, you got a cooling issue, so you're kind of limited to laptop type performance and stuff. Unless you get a big thick monitor, we go back to CRT sized monitors.
I think we should.
The whole computer's in the back.
I think we should go back to CRTs. Then we can use all the old the light gun games from Nintendo, because you can't play them on a new TV. Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everybody misses playing Duck Hunt, I'm sure.
Well, it didn't. Did it work? Yeah, I guess it. No. Did it? It didn't work on the TV. Oh, it was just the game console.
No, you had to have it on the TV. You shoot the little. Well, ducks.
I know, but I wouldn't see why that wouldn't work on a flat screen, because the gaming console.
It doesn't work.
You literally move your cursor on the. Oh, probably different format is why.
It won't work.
Really? You tried Duck Hunter?
Duck Hunt?
Duck Hunt. That. Whatever. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it won't work.
That sucks.
It only work on a CRT.
That's terrible.
No LEDs. No.
I saw. We were talking about this on the last episode. The Intellivision. That's what it was. Mm. I saw a video that came out, and someone has like. I don't know if it's every console, but there's a bunch that I haven't even heard of in there. And they there's. I'll have to send it to you. It's pretty cool. I'll put it in our Telegram channel for those of you that are on our Telegram channel. You'll be able to see this video. It's pretty cool. Otherwise, join the Telegram. Or don't.
I'll check it out.
We'll share.
I never had Nintellivision. Nintendo was the first one I've ever had.
Yeah, no. We had Intellivision. I didn't have an Intellivision. My friend did. He had Intellivision. Mm-hmm. I had Atari. And so we would, you know, depending on which, you know, what we wanted to do, would either be at our house, you know, playing the Atari, or his house playing the Intellivision and doing stuff like that. When we weren't doing, you know, other fun things like determining that kicking a tennis ball around or whacking it with a stick was fun. But if you soaked it in marine laminating resin and then lit that on fire, it became a lot more fun.
Nice.
Yeah, the HOA was not super happy about that, because it is marine laminating resin, and while it did burn, it also leaves a trail everywhere that ball goes, and the trail doesn't come up. Does not come up. Nope.
Was this in California?
It may have been.
It's probably a felony by now.
I'm sure.
Multiple felonies. Well,
it's an open flame right off the bat, so that's probably highly illegal. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The EPA violations, all that stuff.
Right, right. Yeah.
Good thing the statute of limitations is up. You might be in trouble.
I'm surprised they still allow, like, gas grills and stuff like that. Why not?
Do they?
They could have mandated electric grills. From now on, if you know, no open flame.
Don't give them any ideas.
They get their own. I mean, the booster seat. Come on. How do you literally, seriously take that onto the house floor with a straight face and give an impassioned plea to protect the children by making 16-year-olds sit in a booster seat in a vehicle? How do you do this? Hey, how?
No idea.
How is this even a thing?
Craziness.
Oh, and I saw another thing. So when we went to Bend, Oregon, the beautiful river that goes through there, and they're like, I guess it's a big thing during the, you know, warm months to go and float down the river and do other stuff. Well, Oregon just passed a new thing. Apparently, anything that floats is now a boat. An inner tube is a boat.
Oh, okay, cool.
A bundle of wood that you strap together to make a float out of it, it's a boat. Which, of course, means you have to register your boat.
I float. Am I a boat?
Most likely. I don't know. Is a human just wearing, like, a flotation device? Is that a boat as well? Maybe. I don't know. But, yeah, so now I guess you have to pay, like, your $155 annual permit fee for your boat or whatever registration, get your boat registration on your inner tube.
Interesting.
Yeah. I wonder if you have to like go through the rules of boating classes and stuff too. Or is that only for motorized?
Probably. I don't know. Do you need a license to drive a boat?
No, I don't think so. Well, it depends, okay. Right? If you get into tonnage, then yes, you have to have a captain's license. If you have passengers, then yes. Now, not any passengers, right? Like I could go get a boat, rent a boat and drive around with, you know, alpaca people on it and I don't have to have a license, mm-hmm. right? But if I were doing okay. it commercially, I'd have to have a license. So it depends. A big boat, yes. A passenger boat that you are doing commercial passengers.
How big is big?
What is the...
I mean, I didn't mean to put you on the spot or anything. I'm just kind of curious. Yeah, I mean, even if you're driving one of them big barges, you still have the potential to mess it up.
Well, yeah. Commercial, again, seen. Though, you're going to have a license for that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So it actually isn't the size of the boat. But...
Oh, okay.
Okay, so there are some sources that mention a 26-foot threshold, but it's misunderstood. The Coast Guard does not mandate a license solely based on a boat being 26 feet or longer. It's the commercial use that triggers the requirement. For non-commercial okay. use, there's no captain's license needed. So you could have an oil tanker if it was your own private vessel, I guess, and just freaking go for it, guy. That doesn't...
So it's kind of like an RV. You don't need a special license to drive an RV, even though you got, you know, like...
Right, right. It's...
Like a 60-foot RV with
it's the use.
A 27-foot van pulling behind
I think that would still be very terrifying, releasing me behind the, you know, in the captain's seat of an oil tanker. And just, like, I just... If I had, you know... Whatever, FU money, like Elon Musk style money, you just go buy a freaking oil tanker and just get in and start riding around in the damn thing? No, I think that's probably problematic. I think
I saw a thing the other day. I don't know if it's true. I didn't actually do the math, but it was saying that if you somehow manage to save like $10,000 a day from the day that Jesus was born, Elon Musk would still have more money than you.
Yeah, I don't know. I
that's kind of crazy.
That is crazy. I mean, it's stupid amounts of money. It's just stupid, you know? What I don't understand is, you know, all these people are up there and they all want to, like, save humanity, or so they say, right? And they want to do, you know, good stuff. And you know, I'm not saying they don't. I'm not saying that there's no benefit here, that they're not bringing something to the table, that they're not doing stuff. That's not my statement here. But with the kind of FU money that you have, a small portion of that could end homelessness in the United States. Completely end it.
Mm.
And you'd still be so rich that it wouldn't, you'd never run out of money. Never, ever, ever.
I don't know if it would end it. I don't know. I just don't have that much faith in people that they wouldn't put themselves right back in that position, no matter what you did.
And there is that. But you could actually do something like that and say, hey, here's the social experiment. Worst case, we've got a lot of affordable housing afterwards. There's your affordable housing. You know what I mean? You could literally do that.
Maybe.
It is within the realm of possibility to do. Yeah. Why not?
I just saw this thing it's going around Facebook. I guess this younger guy that was on some Disney Channel show back a few years ago, and now he's homeless and on drugs. And, you know, they kind of latched onto him because, you know, he's famous back in the day or something. And these people set him up in a hotel room and stuff, you know, try to get him help. And he just totally thrashed the hotel room and destroyed it. And, you know, he's back in the same position that he was at before that.
Yeah. There's no question. There's some of it will be a failure, but there's also no question you could eradicate it for at least a period of time. It may be short term.
Yeah.
And at which point the people that end up abandoning essentially what they were given. Again, you've got affordable housing. Some percentage of them will take off and be very happy. There's probably a larger percentage of those that will make it if they get that help pretty soon after that event happens for them.
Mm, that's true. I think.
And the longer you're in that situation, the worse it's going to get. You know? That is being alone right there. And I mean alone. You know? So you think about that. You know, we all know that being alone, being, you know, solo, and not for everyone, but for a lot of people, is damaging psychologically. Very damaging. And so you take someone that's alone, destitute, cold, wondering, where am I going to sleep? And am I going to get accosted or arrested or whatever the case may be? And it's cold out and, you know, what am I doing? And I'm alone. And that despair comes in. And, you know, it just doesn't, you know, it's real easy to sit here in an armchair quarterback this stuff. You know, and everyone's like, well, just get a job. Dude, again, no home. Find me a job application that does not have an address field in it. Or find an employer that says, I don't really care about your home address. We're not going to mail you a paycheck. We don't really care if you have an address. They have to have that. Well, if you're homeless, what's your address? So get a job doing what? A steady, stable job with steady, stable income. Go find one without a home address.
Yeah.
You know, you'll get day jobs, you'll get stuff like that, but it's not steady, it's not consistent, and it won't get you out of that mess. It'll give you some reprieve, short term, but likely will end up back in the same situation with that despair hitting again, and then your morale, your confidence in your ability to make that change starts to become eroded. You know, if you fail enough times, eventually you kind of start getting that psychological message that I can't do this. You know, so it's a problem. It is. And you know, making it illegal is not the solution. I mean, how does that even work? Like, you just screw you, you're going to, like, come on, man. Seriously. Yeah, it's a tough one.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, lots of facets to that one, for sure.
Well, there is. And certainly there are mental health issues. There are addiction issues. But that's not all of it, right? That's the stuff you see. That's the stuff that's like the you know, stuff we've talked about, right? You put 10 people in the room with varying political ideologies and say, hey, we're going to hang out for a weekend and we're going to go do stuff and we're going to eat food and we're going to, you know, whatever. They're almost... it's unlikely you're not going to have a good time. You put those same 10 people in a room and start talking about their, you know, political ideology or, you know, stuff like this. And next thing you know, a bunch of them just freaking hate each other right off the bat. Whereas they would have had a great time. Just don't bring that up, you know? So it's just a... It's a thing. It is.
It is a thing. You're right.
You know, there's a lot of division in our society, right? And you got the newest issue of division where, you know, everyone's mad at the boomers, right? As if they sat there and, you know, they had no clue any more than you have a clue that what you're doing as a 20-something-year-old today will impact someone when you're 65, 75. You have no freaking clue. You're certainly not trying to do that, right? But whatever happens, so now we've got the generational divide as well. And it's like, it's just a constant division thing, constant. Stop looking at the differences. Look, you know.
Okay, boomer. No, I hear where you're going from.
Yeah. look at the similarities. Look at the goodness. Look at the things that are important, you know? I don't know. Yeah. It's all right. So what do you guys got going on today?
I don't really even understand that whole okay boomer thing. I see it a lot, but
you know, we can get into that. We're an hour and a half in, so I think we'll probably get
we're good yeah. for today.
So what do you guys got going on today?
I don't know. Might visit with the in-laws today.
That'll be nice.
That's about it. Yeah, I got a vacuum.
Oh,
that's always vacuum. Fun.
Yeah, our Belgian Shepherd is throwing fur up fuzz everywhere again.
Still?
Yeah, she nice. Kind of paused. So she kind of looks interesting because she's got areas that have shedded and areas that have not, and it's a stark contrast. Right. She looks like she's been shaved in certain areas. Not shaved, like shaved, but like the, you know, a haircut.
I'm telling you, you need one of those blower things.
We're looking into it, yeah. We're trying to make sure that we get the right one, a good one, you know? I don't know. So I don't know much about them, but we are looking into it. Because
I can tell you the best one.
Can you? Send me a link. Link me a send. What is the best one?
K9. That's the brand name.
Like spelled out or like the K-9?
Yeah, the K9. It's a... I'll send you a link.
All right.
You just got to select which form factor you want, like the little compact one or the...
Big one. We have Great Pyrenees, too.
It should last at least 20 years.
Maybe really?
More. Yeah. No, they're great. They're solid.
That's pretty awesome. What else can I blow with this thing?
Some guys use them for, like, when they wash their motorcycles to dry them off. Mm. I know you don't have a motorcycle, but, you know.
A little shop blower.
They'll blow pretty good.
All right.
Pretty powerful.
Probably need to get one of those then. This dog drops great. A lot of fuzz. I mean, a lot of fuzz.
Mm.
Like, wow.
Just do it outside and do it away from, like, your pool. You don't want to do it near that.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Because it will be, like, snowing for...
Yeah, I'm going to try it on the Pyrenees, too, because that right there,
my wife
will brush them out, and it's like it looks like a bunch of snow comes out of the barn, just huge amounts of white Pyrenees fur. We'll actually take that at times and scatter it around the edges of the property as well after brushing.
Keeps
predators away.
Think that works?
It does. It absolutely does.
All right. I forgot the name of the... Yeah, K9 Dryers. That's the name
of it. Okay. Well, we'll have to check that out because that is interesting. And after hearing it from you guys and then also Yukon saying the same thing, and then we started looking at it and people were like, yeah, this is the way to de-shed your dog. don't use shedding rakes. We stopped using those a long time ago because the break the hair.
They do.
But, you know, we just use like a standard pin brush, basically. And that usually just gets a lot of it off. But, you know, I'd rather be able to get the whole thing off. Yeah. I mean, I literally...
Oh, they work fantastic. We did it about once a week.
Yeah, I literally yesterday pulled off a ball of fur this big just in like this much of an area on that dog. I was just... it's too much. It's a lot of fur.
You will be amazed. I guarantee you.
All right.
You will not be upset with it.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us for another episode of the Space Tomatoes podcast. If you liked it, give us some thumbs up. If not, go ahead, throw a thumbs down. Do your thing. Drop a comment. Leave a suggestion for a topic, a guest, a freaking anything. Subscribe. Definitely hit that subscribe, follow, share, do the things, stuff. Give it to your friends, your family. They might like it. Probably not, but maybe. And if not, they'll just be like, yeah, we don't like that. And you could just be like, yeah, whatever. You just, you know, whatever. Cool. And stuff. You can find us on YouTube, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Podcast Addict, Podcast Podbean, not Podcast Bean, Podbean, X, and on Telegram. We've given you the Telegram instructions enough times, you should know them by now. t.me/spacetomatoes in a browser. Boom, there you are. That's it. Go get on it. And remember, wherever you are, whenever you're watching this, have an amazing day.
See you, everybody. See you for season 2. Later.